So Ryan, why don't you tell us how Ryan Burnett and the Vanguards got its start?
Well, basically, I came out of another band about 2 years ago, which I'd been in for 8 or 9 years. We'd done all sorts of touring all over the world. We'd been to America several times, did lots of Harley Davidson shows, actually. And then basically that came to an end a couple of years back. And then I took a little bit of time out to just sort of reevaluate where I was at with everything and sort of what direction I wanted to go in. I took myself over to Nashville for a couple of weeks and worked with a producer over there. I played a couple of shows over here a few years ago with Chris Daughtry, and he put me in touch with a couple of guys over in Nashville and said, hey, you should go and meet these guys, do some writing, just hang out and stuff. So I went over there, wrote a couple of songs, came back to the UK with sort of the idea of sort of starting more of a solo project, I guess. I started just playing some shows, just me and an acoustic guitar, and then I kind of just missed the sort of camaraderie of having that band unit around me. So I pulled in my old drummer, who's like my best mate. You know, he's the drummer that I've played with all my life, best drummer I've played with, and he jumped straight back on board. And then I asked a friend of mine called Dan Logan, who used to play in a band called the Kooks, and he just finished touring with Chrissy Hynde from the Pretenders. So I pulled him in, and then another guy, my other guitar player, is a guy called Ben Johnson. He was just a friend who I used to run a lot of open mics around my hometown, and he used to always come down and just you know, play the hell out of it. And so I invited him along to a jam, and then that's kind of how it all started, really.
Now, you've got a really thick and lush sound. I was talking with you earlier, I just heard the song Killers, which is your new single.
Yeah.
How do you come up with such a nice thick sound for being primarily an acoustic player? And also, do you think your sound is dictated somewhat by your songwriting?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, like before, the band I used to be in was like we were a very sort of hard rock band, and it's not like I don't listen to rock music as much anymore. I just sort of, you kind of grow, you know, the older you get, and, you know, your styles change and the music you listen to changes. And to be honest, I've always been a huge, huge fan of, you know, Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen and those kind of bands. You know, it's great storytelling music, but at the end of the day, they're still pop songs, you know. And that's kind of, I wanted to take sort of elements of that, really. And you know, we're just two guitars, bass and drums, but the great thing about this band is that everyone sings, you know, so we can pull out some really nice harmonies. You know, people say, oh, that's, you know, that song sounded quite Fleetwood Mac, and, you know, that song, you know, just sounded really, really thick with the vocals, which is what we try and do. And we don't want to add too much instrumentation to it so that we can't, replicate it live. That's our thing. Like, anything we're recording, we're putting down what we can play live so that we can still have that same sound when we go out and do it on tour.
And it's good that you bring up Fleetwood Mac, because I remember thinking to myself about hearing a little Lindsey Buckingham in your playing.
Oh, wow.
You know, and then
that's the first I've heard that. But well, that's amazing, man. I love that guy.
Well, no, but I mean, I also hear a little John Mayer and Dave Matthews too.
Yeah, John Mayer is a big, you know, was a big, big, big influence on the sort of the songwriting that I'm doing now. I've been into him for years, man. He's a great player. But, you know, we have, there's not really a lot of players like that over here in the UK. I mean, we've got James Bay, who's doing really well over here at the moment, who actually is from the same town as me. But yeah, man, John Mayer was a big one. Dave Matthews, you know, I love. I've not been a huge, big fan of Dave Matthews. Like, I love his music, but I've never really delved into, you know, his back catalogue. But Lindsey Buckingham, wow. Yeah, I went to actually see Fleetwood Mac in London about 2 months ago, and it absolutely blew my mind.
Oh yeah, that's right, they're on tour, and Christy McVie's back with them too.
Yeah, man, she's great. Really, really good, really good.
Nice. Now, being a guitar player myself, I notice you're primarily acoustic, but what kind of gear are you playing?
to be honest, like I said, it kind of started off acoustic. Excuse me, but I'm not really playing really any acoustic in the live shows now. We've kind of moved it all to electric. But I've actually I've just bought. Primarily, I used to just play a lot of Gibson. I own a 78 SG, but I haven't really used that for this band. I've just bought myself a Gretsch White Falcon, which is like a double cutaway, and it's beautiful, man. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I've been using that and just a Telecaster is the main sound, and then I use a Fender Princeton.
Nice. Love that Fender bell tone, man, because I've got a Tele myself.
Yeah, it's great, man.
So, yeah, it's got, I mean, it has that, you know, that twangy Nashville sound to it, too.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that works really well with the Gretsch as well, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. So, well, why don't you tell us about the Guitar Hero stuff going on?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it was completely random, if I'm honest. We saw an ad that came through on Facebook of all places, and all it said was there's an audition going for an interactive music video, which is what they put it out as. So I didn't actually know it was for Guitar Hero. So I just thought, oh, you know, I could go and down. It might be a day's work, you know, a bit of money. So I went down, and I did. They wanted us to just sort of mime along to the Foo Fighters' Monkey Wrench, and I actually came down with another couple of musician friends of mine, and the room that we went into for the audition, they actually had a bunch of gear in there. So I said to the director, I said, well, look, instead of us just miming this, you know, we can actually plug in and we can actually play this song for you. So we did that, and then I went away. I got a call back about 2 months later, went and did another audition, just another couple of songs. And then again, sort of forgot about the whole thing. About a month later, I got a phone call saying, look, we'd like you to, you know, do this job. And I said, well, can you tell me what the job is? And they said, no. All right. Okay. So I turned up to the first rehearsal, and it was only then when we'd walked into the room that, the director, Jamie Jackson, came in and said, so I'm going to be directing the new Guitar Hero game. And we were like, wow, okay. And it's the first of its kind. You know, it's not, there's no computer graphics really involved in it anymore. It's been shot almost like a movie. So it's all real life. You know, they built huge festival sized stages, backstage areas, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of extras, you know, to build a crowd. Huge green screens, you know, around the stage to put all the big backgrounds in, and it was absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, it was about 6 months filming, so it kept me busy for a while. But it's been a great experience. I'm not even a big gamer myself, you know. But the only really game I've ever really played is Guitar Hero, so it was kind of cool for us to do. And actually, my bass player Dan, he was actually features in the game too, so it's kind of cool for us.
So they're not motion tracking actors anymore. They're actually putting people like you in it, and then that's part of the game then.
Yeah, I mean, we did some of the motion capture stuff where we had to wear the funny suits with the little bubbles on, but that was just for the so the camera that's on the stage with us is on this rail, and it's called a bolt camera. So basically, that just had to program in where we were going to be on stage at all times. So it was almost choreographed movements of where we needed to be so that the camera caught us during the performance of each song.
And it actually sounds a lot harder than it is.
It kind of was, to be honest. You know, there was a lot of planning. If you were, you know, a couple of steps out of place, that was it. You know, you had to stop and roll the camera back and do it again, you know. And especially with Guitar Hero, because, you know, if you're playing badly, we'll interact with you and sort of ask you to step up, you know. And then if you're playing well, obviously we'll be cheering you on, the crowd will be going nuts. But for every song that we had to film, we had to film a negative version of it and a positive version of it. So there'd be takes where, you know, the crowd would be throwing cups at us, and it was pretty horrible, to be honest. Like, I was like, wow, this is like my whole life.
man.
But no, it was a really cool project to be involved in.
That just sounds totally awesome, though. Now, is that version out now, or is it coming out?
It is, yeah. It's
wow. Have you played it? Have you played?
I have played it. I'm really bad at it.
That's what I was going to ask. I was like, did you get the negative or the positive ending?
Well, it's funny that the first time I played it was on the launch day at the event, and there was all these people around me watching, and it was the first time I played it, and I was so bad at it.
Man.
But I was just getting booed off stage, man. It was horrible.
Man.
But what they've done with it, it's a different guitar that they've manufactured for the game. Instead of the five the row of five buttons that you used to have, that you were used to playing with, it's now two rows of three. So you're actually playing shapes more like a real guitar. You know, you're playing almost like chord shapes, which is really cool. But it's definitely harder.
Well, yeah, because you know what's funny? Like I've been playing guitar since I was 10 years old. I can't win Guitar Hero for anything. I couldn't. I have literally failed every time I've played that game at no matter yeah. what song. Well, have you ever seen the YouTube video? You gotta check this out. Not Guitar Hero, but for Rock Band, the band Rush. I'm sure you're familiar with
Geddy
Lee, Neil Peart, and Alex Lifeson. They released Tom Sawyer, their song Tom Sawyer, on Rock Band. And then they had Rush come in and try it out, and they couldn't get above a 25%. They totally blew at it.
I mean, it's really hard. Like, a lot of friends of mine who are musicians play it, and you know they really struggle with it, which is sort of ironic, really. But
imagine if it's your song.
I know. Brilliant.
You know, so well, how do you think you'd fare if Killers was on Guitar Hero?
Oh man, I dread to think, man. But to be honest, I've heard that song so much now, I probably wouldn't play it anyway.
Nice. Now, you just released that single October 30th. What kind of feedback have you been getting from it? Because I love the song.
Thanks, man. No, it's been really good, man. We've not had any negative reviews on the song yet, you know, which is great considering it's the first song that we've put out. But no, it seems to be doing well, man. We're getting some good radio play over here, and I say the reviews have been coming in, and you know, it's been all positive so far, which is, you know, I couldn't ask for anything more from it, really. But we're about to head back into the studio to start recording the follow up. So I think we're gonna release just a 4-track EP in the new year, and then go from there.
Now with this 4-track EP, are you going to include Killers on it, and then a few other songs? And then also, I hear a lot of artists doing EPs now. Why not a full album? Because I think you've got the chops for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Killers probably won't go on the EP because, like I said, we've already put it out. You know, it is available to buy on Spotify, you know, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify. It's on all of those. So it'd be nice to just release something, you know, that people haven't heard yet. And we've been writing a lot, you know, and we do have an album's worth of material, but the problem is, being such a new band, that we don't quite have the market there yet, I think, to put a whole album out, because I'm not necessarily that it would go to waste, mm-hmm. but, you know, we'd rather sort of drip feed songs, get people on board with the band, get people excited about it. And then obviously if you release an album, that's going to be it then for maybe another year or so. So if we put an EP out, you know, that'll cover us for another couple of months. You know, we'll do some touring, and then hopefully by sort of mid next year to the end of next year, that's, I think, when we'd probably look at putting a full album's worth of material out.
Now, do you think that that's the way the music industry is going? Because like I said before, I mean, more and more artists that I interview are going the EP route or single by single route instead of a full album.
It seems to be the way, to be honest, which is kind of cool. But, you know, for me, I love listening to whole albums. But I think that's, I do miss that, you know, like, before there was Spotify, before there was Apple Music and such, you know, you had to go down to a record store and buy an album, you know, and you'd come home and you'd play the whole thing. Whereas now I think, you know, you hear an artist that you like, you go to Spotify, you play the song, you might skip through it, you know, and you just go, oh, I only like this song, so I'll just pull that song and put that in play. You know, and I do miss that, you know. To be honest, I've said to myself, I'm going to, because I still have a huge record collection, you know, my CD collection is ridiculous, but I've always been a huge fan of the vinyl, you know, so I don't actually own a vinyl player. So I've actually said to myself in the new year, I'm going to invest into a really nice vinyl player and start just collecting all of my favorite albums again. on vinyl, because I do miss just sitting down, putting a whole album on, you know, and even, you know, the sleeves inside, you know, I miss reading through the sleeves, who's been involved in the album, you know.
Oh, exactly.
I love that stuff, man, but, you know, that it doesn't really happen anymore.
You know what else I miss, too? Not a lot of people will think about this, but I also miss the smell of the album.
Yeah.
You know, if you notice, I mean, it's almost like they scented them on the assembly line.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
You know?
But it's cool, man. It, like, you know, you look at those albums, it brings back so many memories from, you know, previous years and stuff, but I think you don't really, when you go on Spotify and listen to a song now, it doesn't really create a memory. You know, you remember certain albums, you know, I remember walking into the record store, you know, how old I was, how much money I had, you know, and, you know, the day that I bought it and taking it home and listening to it, you know, that's all embedded in my head. But any album I listen to on Spotify now, it's just, oh, it's on Spotify, I'll give it a play. And then that's kind of it, you know, it's not really that ownership of owning the album.
Exactly. Now, do you think that services like iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, and so on and so forth, do you think they've kind of desensitized or dehumanized the music industry in a way, might kind of made it, you know, because I get the feeling that it's more like driving through McDonald's as opposed to going into a restaurant.
Yeah. No, I suppose that's a good way of putting it. But I mean, yeah, it's like I just said, really, it does take away a certain element, but then, you know, it is the way things have gone and it is the way things will be, you know, and it has its pros and cons, you know, like it's music so readily available now that, you know, if people hear of a band coming through town and people say, oh, there's this gig on tonight, and then you can just go to Spotify and you can listen to the songs for free, you know, and you can go, hey, I really like those songs, I'm going to come down to the gig tonight. And then you buy a ticket, you know, and that's kind of the way it is now. You know, the most, you know, the revenue for bands now is more in the live market. But I suppose that is the pros of having that music so readily available, is that people can just go and listen to it and say, I really like this, let's go and see their show.
Exactly. Well, case in point, like if you remember last year when U2 gave their album away for free on iTunes, you know what was funny? 10 years before, if they would have gotten a free YouTube album in the mail, they would have been all ecstatic about it. But now, but you know, when that happened on iTunes, it was like, you know, what the hell is this doing on my phone?
Yeah, it caused a bit of a stir over here as well. But yeah, I think I thought that was a little bit odd. That was almost forcing music upon people. I think it would have been cool if they said, look, hey, our album will be available for free if you want it. All you've got to do is press this button and you can have it. You know, rather than it just appearing in your iTunes library.
Exactly. I liked it. I listened to it. Yeah, and I thought it was good.
Too, you know, I'll admit, I'm not the biggest fan of the more recent stuff, but you know, I love U2. I love the old stuff. I saw them live back in, I think it was 2005, and it was one of, if not the best live show I think I've ever seen.
Well, I liked it just for the fact that, like, hey, you know, get a free U2 album. All right, cool.
You know? Yeah. You know. If you're a U2 fan, it's great. But if you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, man, how do I get rid of this?
Exactly. Now, how do you think that the internet has changed the music industry? Like, what do you think Ryan Burnett and the Vanguards would be like in 1995 instead of 2015?
Well, I would much rather have, you know, had my music out in that time, because for more about what we just talked about, you know, making records, having records out, you know, and, but I suppose with the internet now, it is, it's like I said, your music is far more reachable and accessible, to have. And for bands that don't have that big record deal, you know, you can build a career through having a very good internet presence. You know, you do have all the social medias, so you have that reach to your fans instantly, you know, whereas back in the day you had to go out and tour, you know, constantly to get that fan base there. And then, you know, mailing lists, even though, you know, I suppose the internet wasn't even really a massive thing back in 95, you know, you had to just word of mouth, you know, it was more of the case back then. But then there was a lot more money back in the industry back then as well, you know, and to support bands, whereas bands don't really get that much of a chance anymore. If you don't sell instantly, then, you know, if you're on a major label, you're going to be out the door, you know. So
They kind of get shuffled in the white noise now.
Exactly, yeah. I think, you know, people were given much more time to progress as a band, you know, back in the day. If you knew they were good, you know, it might take two or three albums until that big hit comes. Whereas now, you have to have that instantly, you know. So it is different, yeah. But, yeah.
Now
it
you,
is what it is, I guess.
Now, you guys are playing the Seabright Arms on the 30th, correct?
We are.
Now what is a Ryan Burnett and the Vanguard show like live? I mean, what can we expect? Are like, is everybody like jumping up and down and mosh pits everywhere? You guys drenched in panties and all that?
Not so much anymore. It's more it's a bit more of a chilled affair these days. But you know, we the music isn't as raucous as what we used to do, but you know, we like writing good pop songs, man, that people can, you know, grab a hold of, and, you know, it means something to people. And, you know, we've only done, probably less than 10 shows so far. But they've all been great, man. And, the last show we did was about 2 weeks ago in London. And, you know, I think we only did 7 songs, but, you know, we were sweating our asses off by the end of it. You know, we put a lot into it, man. And, you know, we rehearse a lot. To make sure we, you know, we sound as good as we can. And it's been great, man. I'm absolutely loving it. You know, playing live is my favorite part of being a musician, definitely.
Yeah. It's the most fun and it's the most rewarding because you're with the people that like your music.
Exactly. You know, when you're playing a song, you know, that started as just an idea in your head, as a lyric, you know, and you're there on stage playing it with the band, and you know, and you've got these people singing these words back at you, is the greatest feeling on the, you know, on the planet.
Exactly. Now, if you could choose live or studio only for the rest of your career, which would it be?
Live, definitely.
Yeah, studio is kind of tedious anyway, don't you think?
Well, I love the studio process. I know a lot of musicians who hate it, you know, but I love it. I love the creative process. You know, getting in a studio with a producer. You know, we worked with a producer on Killers and a couple of the other tracks called Paul Stambra. You know, and he'd worked with a lot of cool people, man. It was great getting his input in on the songs as well. You know, he had a good pop head on him. He's a good songwriter, not just a producer, you know, so he could have input into the songs. But you know, I love that process. I mean, it can be tedious, but that's just personal preference, I guess. But no, I love it.
Exactly. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Now, you guys were just on national TV over there a couple of weeks ago in London Live, correct?
Yeah.
What is that like? I mean, like knowing that maybe a million people are watching you right then and there.
It was pretty crazy. It was the first TV piece that we've done with the Vanguards, you know. But CJ and I and Dan were sort of used to it from previous bands that we've been involved with and stuff. But poor Ben, our guitar player, he's quite new to it all at the moment. So he was, you could tell he had a little bit of nerves about him. But he pulled it off, man. He was really cool. But no, it was great. It was just for London Live.
And it's live television, right?
It was live, yeah. It was live.
Because so, I mean, I was just gonna say that. I mean, like, it's live TV, and every that's in the back of your mind. You know, it's a different animal than a live gig because there are people all over watching.
Yeah, it's definitely quite nerve-wracking. I mean, I would definitely have more nerves going into a TV studio talking about my songs rather than going on stage and playing the songs, you know. It's not like you can really be prepared for a TV interview, you know. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's coming your way. You just got to go in and just be yourself, I guess.
And it's different with the whole band being there, because, you know, it's funny, if it were my band, right before, right, you know, when we're all sitting on the couch and then the commercial's getting ready to end, I'd turn right to those guys and say, no F words, please. Please don't.
Yeah. That is always the one. But fortunately, I have a good set of lads in the band, and they know how to behave. Sometimes.
But you know how it gets when you get nervous, man, because I do that too.
Oh, yeah. I'll start anything can come up.
Yeah, I'll start F-bombing, you know, like you wouldn't believe, man, if I get too nervous, you know, like, you know, and like start complaining about the air conditioning and all sorts of weird stuff. You know, but
it's funny though, but No, it was cool. It was good fun.
But, well, what do you guys have coming up next? I mean, we're talking about the EP, first of the year. What do you think, what is your next single going to be like, do you think? Is it already done, or?
Well, we're literally in the process of writing at the moment. We were in the studio all day yesterday just writing. You know, we've got a bunch of songs that we're playing live right now. But to be honest, before we go into record, which is probably not going to be until January, I'd like to really have another bunch of songs written in there, and we can make sure that we really pick the best four that we want to go onto the EP. But no, we're trying to keep everything as upbeat as we can at the moment as well, you know. Yeah, I mean, I can't say for sure what's going to go on it yet or anything, but it's, you know, I'm really hyped about it. We're really working hard on the songs, and I'm just excited to get back in the studio.
Nice. Now, where can we find you guys online?
Well, Killers is all over, man. It's you can find us on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, iTunes, and then we've got all the standard social medias. You know, it's if you put I think the Facebook's / Ryan Burnett Official, my Twitter is I am Ryan Burnett, my Instagram is I am Ryan Burnett as well, and you can keep up to date with everything on those websites. Or alternatively, you can just go to ryanbennettmusic.com, and all the social websites are linked on there anyway.